Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Oof, hello everyone. We are back. We are back. Roma, they beat Torino 3-2. We also obviously will get to the progression in the Europa League over Feyenoord very quickly before getting to all of that. A thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, David Martinson, and of course to all of our other wonderful patrons. If you would like to join, patreon.com/RomaPress, and of course the video version of the podcast you can find on YouTube at ISRomaPress. That is also where you can find us on all of the usual social media platforms. We greatly appreciate everyone's support, not only on the video podcast, but Twitter, Facebook, all of that good stuff. Just the engagement that we have with everyone, it's still just astonishing that this many people even care about AS Roma, let alone engage with a website and a Twitter account. Just it's overwhelming at times, so thank you. The reason we were gone last week, it was entirely my fault. We mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast, but we welcomed my dozenth child to the family, so we have a substitute off the bench now. We planned on recording. She decided to come just before the second leg against Feyenoord because obviously being a daughter of mine, she's clearly as depraved.
Yeah, she was
clearly as depraved as all of us are, and you watching this. Yes. So she needed to subject herself to 120 minutes of a second leg plus a penalty
and
shootout.
And a penalty shootout, yes.
In a Europa
First time League, on earth, and you're subjected to a penalty shootout.
In a Europa League playoff tie. So she decided to come right before then, and we ran into a couple of I won't say complications, but it didn't go as smoothly as we would hope. But we are home now. I know a few of the patrons and a few others at social media sent their well wishes, so that is greatly appreciated. And obviously, Andy, you doing all of this stuff in my extended absence, which thought it would just be a couple of days. It turned out to be a bit longer than that. Greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate all of you. And again, Andy, for the help.
No worries. We're just counting on all the children to contribute to the assembly line of
It just in a very mature or serious moment, there are so few things in like the human experience that, whether it be having a child, I don't know what would be akin to that, but just it defies just the emotions involved in all of it. Like you see this little baby and you would do anything for it. They've been on this earth for all of 2 seconds. You would be willing to lay down your life for it's just crazy. It's a astonishing portion of the human part of the human experience, and whether it be having a child or I don't know what matches the emotions involved in that, but I hope all of you seriously get to experience it someday, because
are you saying it's not comparable to Paulo Dybala scoring a hat trick or Milos penalties on Thursday?
I am so glad you brought that up and interjected before I went on some weird tangent existentialism or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, tonight, okay, with Paulo Dybala, we saw, okay, you and I have talked about it ever since he came to Roma last season. Every time he falls, I have mentioned it, you have mentioned it, are assholes, okay? It is completely uncontrolled. Every time you see him fall, like your asshole just clenches up. And this is why tonight. Because when the guy is available and healthy, oof. When he is on and he is healthy, which you would think for most of the time, not even being on or in the form, okay? You would just think being healthy, being fully available. for most players, that is the easiest part of it. Whereas for Paulo Dybala, one could argue that is the biggest question mark and the most difficult. However, when he is able to do that, my goodness, he is well worth the price of admission. He is well worth the broken ankle that you got on your way to the Olimpico. Well worth the 45 minutes you probably had to wait to get a taxi to get you within a mild walking distance of the stadium. I mean, that is why we put ourselves and subject ourselves, you know, to watching him fall down each time and just having some spasm somewhere in our body. Tonight is why we have those involuntary muscle reactions, because we would get completely have moments like tonight stolen away from us. I mean, he carried Roma tonight. I think even beyond Paulo Dybala, there were a lot of things tonight that I liked. There were a few that I didn't. Obviously, Roma, Duván Zapata, it doesn't matter. Of course, this Manolas is getting essentially bodied into oblivion, whether he is there or not. The guy somehow, death, taxes, goal against Roma. He just does that. I am still, it's difficult to find the words for Paulo Dybala, because if you got this from him, just not obviously a hat trick every single time, but man, the quality he possesses, he and Romelu Lukaku relative to the rest of the team is so frighteningly high. I mean, the gap between those two and then the rest, it's massive. It is massive. But this is why you pay them, though, yeah? I mean, you pay Paulo Dybala what you pay him to do what he did tonight, as you do with Romelu Lukaku.
Sure. Big-time players, entertainers. Well, Romelu Lukaku still has something to answer for, given his performance against Feyenoord on Thursday. And Paulo Dybala, big-time player with in Budapest, big-time player today, because the stakes, you know, we were pretty high today, and once Torino equalize, it's not good. And no, I don't know.
Hold on. People wanted to give me shit because ever since Jose Mourinho was sacked, one of the things that I'm just going to assume it was primarily his supporters have given me a lot of stick for was I have been saying, this is a crucial league match for the past month and a half. Okay, and they were saying, well, no, it's not. You're still within a few points of fourth place. With this team, okay, you can be within touching distance to completely out of it in such a short span, okay? That line is so narrow with this team. And when you have a team who has struggled so mightily as they did early in this season, you have to make up for it now. So yeah, every match is crucial, particularly when you have Bologna firing on all cylinders, when you have Atalanta playing somehow even without the bangs, but potion this season, well, with a different potion, I should say, at least, playing so well. Yeah, absolutely it is crucial. I think it's crazy, man. I think it's crazy to think otherwise, no? I mean, it is not as if it's Roma, running a one-horse race for this fourth and final Champions League place.
No, the standings are constantly changing. You're always on your toes, right? I mean, we're talking about a team that needs time to figure itself out. But then they are constantly dependent also on others' results.
Yes.
Tonight, Roma win against Torino, and it's an important win. It's a tough, resilient display, especially in those final minutes where you clearly suffer, where there is pressure on you. But you're fighting for your life because Serie A this year is very consistent in its mediocrity. You know, I mean, there's Inter and then there is everybody else. And there are a few surprises, such as Bologna. But Torino as well. Torino were one of the more consistent sides lately. They were in form. they were coming off a really good performance against Lazio.
This is only the second loss of 2024.
Yeah. After losing to Lazio last week, being pissed off because they may have deserved better. And Torino are always a pain in the ass. Juric is one of the most pain in the ass coaches since that farewell game with Totti. Just one of the most diabolical managers that you could possibly encounter in Serie A. So all in all, you know, tonight...
Is that notwithstanding having spies at Trigoria?
You can get into that because that's so funny that it happened even last year. To the
it
same
is
guy.
So
the same
quintessential
guy was
Italian football, man. I mean, it's painful. It's painful. That's how quintessential.
And
Italian
nobody addressed it. Did you see? Nobody like asked Juric about it. Nobody asked Daniele De Rossi about it. It's like, yeah, like one of the collaborators of the opposing team's coach just showed up and spied on what Roma were doing. And last year he was caught playing with a drone over Trigoria, which is fucking hilarious. So, you know, all in all, this tonight was never going to be easy. Paulo Dybala is the big time entertainer that we all know and love him for. And when he's fit and when he feels it, when he feels important, he is important. But overall, despite the slow start, despite a first half that was perhaps not as good as we would have hoped for. It was nice to see Chris Smalling back, and it was nice to see a team rally in the second half and really claw their way to the end. Because usually, Roma are not the team that, against this kind of opponent, this nasty, really gritty opponent, once that equalizer goes in, a lot of teams would have given up. And tonight, Roma, it wasn't even that they got lucky with Dybala getting that shot off. No, they worked for it, and they worked until the end to bring that result home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm watching De Rossi right now in his post-match interview. It's he's on the zone right now, and he is saying that he likes to see the suffering. He enjoys to see them suffer until the very end, even though it may kill you. I mean, again, our respective cardiologists may disagree with that notion. But listen, if there is one thing, okay, that they did, I would say probably one of their most, or at least among their best characteristics, even under Jose Mourinho, this team can suffer. They are comfortable in a way suffering. Now, as you just said, I think there's a very fine line between the suffering part, but then going to the next stage where the opponent equalizes, that's where the change comes, because you can suffer up until then and do relatively well with the suffering part. But once that goal hits the back of the net, I would say that is the part where Roma, historically over these last few seasons, have always been very underwhelming. I always think of two, I forget what the exact figure was, but when Roma under Paolo Fonseca would go down a goal, their record was just something abysmal. Or if the opponent would equalize and they would lose a lead, just again, record abysmal, which, I mean, most teams are not going to have great records when you are conceding leads. But it does say something about their ability or their knack to pull something out in the end. I agree with you. That first half was very underwhelming. The penalty, nobody is going to argue that. Obviously, the thing that is going to kill everybody is that goal of Zapata. Now, I do not bet. I am not big into sports betting, but... Yeah. I mean, if there was ever one thing I would have been willing to bet one of my, 13 children on,
already at that, you're already thinking about that. Look at you.
Well, I mean, come on, man. You knew Zapata was getting a goal tonight, yeah? I mean,
of course.
I wasn't even worried about
tradition. It's either him or Muriel, and Muriel is now off to the MLS, so we're safe from him. But Zapata's still roaming the pitches of Serie A.
Yes, and I will never forget that match of his watching him against Kostas Manolas. I still remember doing the podcast with you immediately after, and just having so vividly in my head watching Zapata. I mean, it looked like something of the late 90s, early 2000s WWE. Like I was watching, I don't know, Kevin Nash grab somebody by the neck and just completely outbody them. If you aren't used to Zapata scoring a goal by now, I don't know what else to tell you, but they came out in the end, and they did. I would say too, despite what the scoreline says, okay, defensively, I thought they were not bad tonight.
The problem with defensively this year, or at least and especially now with De Rossi, that it's a pattern is that you're conceding on crosses, you're conceding on headers, which is something that did not happen last year.
And
we lost that. It's not only with De Rossi, but with De Rossi, it's more prominent because there is six of them. Roma with De Rossi have conceded six goals off of crosses. So that's a worrying trend, especially considering that tonight you had Chris Smalling and Evan Dika out there. So guys that are supposedly meant for that kind of man marking on set pieces.
That is extremely worrying. Although I will try to counteract your bad with some good. Angelino, man. Yes, I know Spinazzola pulled out a gorgeous cross himself. I feel like Angelino has completed more crosses successfully in these 4 to 5 weeks of his being at Roma than Spinazzola has in 4 years. I am still trying to come to terms with having a left back who can successfully complete the cross. It's a welcome change, I will say that. It definitely adds a new dynamic, I would say, to the attack. Having Angelino being able to whip one in from the left as opposed to having Spinazzola just take a defender on one-on-one, it adds a whole new wrinkle to the attack of Roma. I thought that Asmund, I know people will, you will look at his game today and you will not be overly impressed. Here is my thing when it comes to Asmund, okay? And I said this in one of my post-match reactions, I forget when, but it was recently. I can't live in a world or live in the country where I had to listen for months and years about Mandzukic and Alvaro Morata, two guys who did not score many goals. But I had to hear on Sky Sport, particularly, okay,
Mandzukic two guys. Was unbelievable.
With Mandzukic, man.
There was a whole propaganda machine.
they didn't score goals, but, you know, you would have thought he found two the cure for cancer, the way they would talk about this guy. And it was most... the only name I'm going to mention is Di Marzio, you know, was renowned for doing this with Mandzukic, and it still to this day drives me insane. As you just said, it is a propaganda machine. Okay, Mandzukic, three goals in a season, and they're talking about the guy I don't know, like he has a work rate of Gattuso in midfield or something. I mean, the way they speak about him, no goals, attacker who doesn't score much, but hey, he's got a good work rate. And then in the same sentence, I have to hear about how Asmund is just a total flop, doesn't do anything. I can't live in a world, okay? These two things cannot simultaneously live together. If they're both...
That's a good point.
I just can't do that. So, you know what? If we're going to live in a world where I have to pay some just an obscene amount for Sky Sport, and I have to listen to them talk about like that, talk about Mandzukic in this way, then you know what? I'm going to talk about Asmund in this way. And even though he didn't get a goal, you know what? His work rate today, superb. I have no complaints. I have no complaints. None. I think he opened up a lot of space for Paulo Dybala, believe it or not. I'm trying to think. I mean, my only complaint from tonight is Christensen. And then we had in the patron group chat during the match, some people not like the positioning of Svilar.
I think that tonight there is the goals you concede One is okay, Zapata does Zapata, but the other one is again a mistake and a loss of focus, yes, on the part of the team that can be avoided. Then you have Chris Smalling back in the starting lineup and playing over 70 minutes, which I thought was insane, because we'd seen him maybe for 10 minutes against Frosinone. So really surprising, but good. A welcome sight. Renato Sanchez back. So it's the night of the living dead, apparently, and we didn't know about it.
You should have seen, man, how many people were astonished by that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because you and I write about it every day. Just the way people reacted, it was as if somebody who was kidnapped by a cartel had been found. Maybe I was just ignorant to how long it has been since we have seen him.
He's still there. You know, it's like that Vasco Rossi song. You know, io sono ancora qua. And basically talking about his drug addiction. Well, that's pretty much what we have going on with Renato Sanchez. He's there. He's looming in the background. And tonight he was finally able to make an appearance. So along with Chris Smalling, that is a welcome sight. I think tonight, for me, the most important part about this is to see Paulo Dybala once again reaffirm his status as clearly the best player on the team, with the most quality. It's undeniable.
Yes.
And when he's on, he's on. And he is a difference maker that unfortunately sometimes goes through these spells, usually dictated by his physical issues that may compromise his overall performance. Then you had also that initial stretch of games under De Rossi where Dybala was figuring out what exactly he needs to do with this new manager. His role wasn't as central as it was under Jose Mourinho. In the meantime, Lorenzo Pellegrini took over, so he sort of upstaged Dybala. But the thing about this match is this match highlights that you can have both. You can have a team effort, because it takes a team effort really to carry that result home, secure those 3 points, especially against a team like Torino that presses like hell. And also were on a really good run. And this was, for them, it was as much of a must win as for you. So
yes,
that's, and then you also have the brilliance of the individual. Those things go together. The unity of the team, the performance of the team, and the performance of the individual. It's not one or the other. That is what Roma must understand, is you can have nights where Dybala goes on a crazy run like that, but that doesn't excuse the team from not showing up. And they showed up tonight. Okay, the scoreline is a bit troubling, but the effort was there. It wasn't like the team fell asleep behind the wheel, and in the meantime, Dybala took over and took it upon himself to take the game home and make things happen. Dybala made things happen, because that's why you signed Paulo Dybala, but the team was there. The team was there until the very end.
The team was there until the very end. I have to give credit to, and I'm sure at least initially once the team sheet came out, the thing I want to give De Rossi for, I want to give him credit for, is, again, this sort of tactical flexibility, tactical versatility. As I mentioned, once he was appointed, I understand most probably were not subject to what he did last season in Serie B with Spal. The track record, okay, was 13 matches, I believe. So it was difficult to understand what to expect. The only thing I had to base my opinion
17
on...
17 matches. With Spal, he was 17.
Okay, okay, cup two. So the only thing I was able to base my opinion on of Daniele De Rossi as a manager was that handful of matches, okay? So 17 matches in total. So the track record was not too long. What I did notice during that time, there were some obvious tactical deficiencies. Unwillingness to change some things that changing from the way his team was playing to begin the game or begin a half. I will give him full credit, because those two things he has completely put into the bin, at least for now. He has shown more than willingness to change things up at halftime. He's going to take off Hoist, and he's going to bring somebody on, regardless of, you know, whether we think it's too early or not. Frankly, even tonight, the substitutions, I'm sure you saw the group chat with the Patriots. I mean, they are complaining, what is taking so long? What is taking so long? Why not the substitutions? Well, it turns out in the end, he was right. I mean, you can't complain with the result. I have to give him credit, even with going to three at the back. He, in his first days as the manager, replacing Jose Mourinho, immediately goes to back four, and we think he's going to remain with this without question. Well, tonight, with the fact that you have pretty much every single person available except for Tammy Abraham, yeah? And come on, who is missing? He got ruled out. Karsdorp, Rick Karsdorp. Right. So you have
tonight, exceptionally
for tonight, for all intents and purposes, if we just want to take from beginning of the season to today, today is the healthiest Roma have been the entire season. Today, 26 February, we had to wait for Roma to have essentially all of their most important pieces available again, barring Tammy Abraham. So first time of the entire season where we have a relatively healthy Roma, 26th of February. So 6 months into the season, more than that, 7 months into the season. Or no, wait, I can't do maths. 6 months into the season. So you can't, that is obviously something, by the way, that when it comes to Jose Mourinho and the circumstances surrounding his dismissal, I think obviously when we discuss that, that is the sort of context that needs to be brought into the conversation, but we can save that for another day. I think tonight it was interesting to see, based on the fact that he has nearly his entire team available, that he was willing to change some things and show to Torino a different look, a different appearance of Roma, much different than the one that we saw in these recent games against Feyenoord, where they're playing a 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 sort of hybrid. I absolutely have to give him credit for that, because that is not something he was doing. I mean, he got sacked, I think he lasted October to January. So he was not doing this 1 year ago. So that tells me two things. One, he learned his lesson. And two, he is not so tactically rigid that he is going to force the team to adapt to his ways of thinking. He is going to take his way of playing football, but he is also going to take the strengths of the players at his disposal and put out what he thinks is the most productive formation and approach for them to get a result. So I have to give him credit in both of those respects, because those were the two things I was most concerned about, and he has shown growth. Sure. And that is the only thing you can ask for when you have a manager such as this. And if, again, we are going to go simply based on results, they have one defeat under him.
One draw, one defeat, seven wins. So we're there, and it's been remarkable. And also tonight, what was remarkable is the complete 180 in the formation. I mean, you know, you switch to three at the back because you introduce Smalling. You make Smalling, the guy who hadn't started the match since September 1st, start the tonight, and the whole team has to change because of it. You do it in a game that is still must win, is still very important, is still very difficult. So we're talking about De Rossi, being sort of bringing that lack of experience and making it the strong suit of the team so far. As in, listen, I'm as a coach, I'm not as good as you are players, right? Like I don't have the pedigree, I don't have the experience, and we have to make something happen together. And he recognizes the versatility of a lot of these players, because a lot of these players are well-rounded because they're not exceptional. If you're exceptional, you're good at specifically one thing, and that makes you special. With Roma players, they're all a bit well-rounded. They can more or less do a lot of things because they can't really do any of them exceptionally, with exactly the exception of some of the champions, like Paulo Dybala, like Romelu Lukaku on his good day, or even Lorenzo Pellegrini. Those are the three players that really make the difference. Then I still think that somebody like Smalling, man, he's still your best defender. Like,
yes,
when it comes to marking somebody, when it comes to being the rock in the middle of the defense, he's still the best. So here's hoping that. Because I think, because De Rossi also mentioned this, when they asked him, well, are you going to switch to four at the back? He said, I'm going to adapt. That's good news. Like, it's good news to have that kind of flexible mentality, because if there is a team that cannot stand rigidity, it is this Roma. This Roma is not meant for one way of playing and that's it. This Roma has to explore ways of making things work, because for the most part of the season, these things haven't been working. Right now, you're calling the shots, you're changing things up, you're switching, and it's working. It's working. It's far from perfect. You're still unable to sustain 90 minutes of quality football. You still suffer from the opponent's pressure. Sometimes you have trouble building from the back, even though that is now your area of focus. But those are all encouraging signs of a team that is clearly trying things out. And so far, the results have been going in their favor.
Oh, absolutely. And beyond that, too, I think, again, I don't want to harp on this, because anytime you bring this up, it just naturally it turns into a view on the team now versus how they were 1 month ago. I am still struck by the fact at how motivated these guys look to respond to De Rossi. They almost look as if they are out to prove a point. And I find that very interesting, because not that they weren't motivated under Jose Mourinho, but the more we go on, I know you mentioned this in one of the episodes not long thereafter, following his exit from Roma, there were reports, and if you ask it to a couple of the players just off the record, I mean, they will mention it, but it's not an overriding factor, in my opinion, as to what led to his exit. The way of playing, the more I watched him play with De Rossi, and I think of that report saying, oh, well, some players, you know, they really don't like this football of Jose Mourinho, this defensive style, this more passive style of football, playing on the counterattack. I have to say, as each game goes on, I begin to give more credence to that report, because, man, regardless of what they see, even if they talk to me off the record, yeah, well, that had some part to play in it, but really that was not the biggest one. It's difficult for me to believe that now when I watch him play as I did tonight, or I watch him play even against Feyenoord in the second leg, okay? And the first leg, frankly. You cannot tell me, okay, that we are seeing the same level of application, effort, motivation from these players. And again,
because they are freer. They are freer. They look freer.
Yes.
On the pitch, they look like, I even think they have more responsibilities now, but they're better suited for them. A lot of these players had to do a lot under Mourinho. Say like Paredes. Yes. Paredes was called into action to do a lot, but Paredes had no idea to what extent he needs to do what. with
De Rossi, know what day of the
knows
week it was.
Exactly. Yes. Where to be. What he as how far can he go up the pitch? What his duties are exactly in transition, in possession. I mean, that's the key right there. Is you can have tasks, you can have responsibilities, but they can be better suited for you, and then you play with a much more open approach, and you feel the whole team just moves differently, breathes differently. That's been the case for Roma right now. That's what's been working. And for me, the main thing and the sort of the main difference is to see De Rossi, how he speaks about Brighton. De Rossi is now, with Roma having drawn Brighton a few days ago in the Europa League round of 16, De Rossi has done nothing but talk of Brighton as this model that is extremely intimidated by and would like to in the future even replicate a glimpse of it. That is like the complete 180 of what would have taken place with Mourinho there being asked about this. Because Daniele De Rossi just mentioned your favorite statistic. Daniele De Rossi just mentioned in his post-match press conference an XG. He mentioned XG when talking about Brighton. He mentioned this statistic that is...
When was the last time you ever heard the manager of AS Roma mention
that
XG?
That is the statistic that is hated by every single Mourinho fan. And probably by the way, Zdeněk
Zeman would have had his seventh heart attack if you ever had mentioned to him about the XG or probably conceded XG.
But didn't he have a heart attack recently? So maybe somebody mentioned it to him.
That's why I said
that's
seven.
Why, yeah, that's why. no, but in all seriousness, that just goes to show you that Roma, with De Rossi, by appointing De Rossi, they decided to go a completely different way. I'm not saying we're seeing it right now. I'm not saying that this team is now a well-oiled machine that is doing everything right. No, they're not. Tonight, you concede goals that you shouldn't concede. You're slow in the first half. You allow perhaps Torino to get at you a little bit too much. But what De Rossi is saying about Brighton, what De Rossi is saying about De Zerbi, what De Rossi is saying about his ideal vision of Roma makes you believe that this team is now leaning towards this, is now leaning towards adopting that kind of mentality, a much more liberating approach to the game. Because he says, I love suffering. Yes, I love suffering, but it's not about that. It's not about it. You have to kill it when you have a chance. You have to play to win, and not you can't play to suffer. So that is his idea: is to put Roma in a position to not suffer, to be able to maintain some kind of lead that allows the team to be more relaxed, because he knows fully well the kind of team that he's dealing with. He's dealing with a team that feels the pressure. And I think that's why he's impressed despite how the match went, is that Roma still managed to keep it together in those final minutes, especially after Thursday night, which was another grueling experience.
Yes.
Took a lot out of you. And tonight, I thought, if there is I don't think there is a worse opponent than Torino.
No.
A few days after the game on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, a team, as you said, I mean, the intensity that they play with. I mean, Juric will never be mistaken for champagne football. But what you will get is just a team that plays with their foot all the way to the floor, with the pedal all the way to the floor for the entirety of the match. They are a complete pain in the backside to face. You mentioned Brighton. Before we go, what is your early read on that? I mean, again, De Zerbi. So even if you don't watch the Premier League, it's De Zerbi. We already have an idea of the way they are going to play. Yes, it's the Premier League. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. They should still win. Yeah, they should progress.
Listen, I wouldn't go as far as that. I wouldn't go as far as saying they should. Perhaps due to their experience in the Europa League, they should. Based on who they are as a team this season, I don't see that as a requirement. I don't see them as favorites. Of course, this is Brighton's first appearance in the Europa League. They're new to this. Roma, in their interviews, the players have highlighted numerous times how the fact that they've been through it, that they've won, that they've conquered, and they went to the Europa League final last year. That helps. That is an additional booster. But we're talking about, I think, two teams between two guys, one of whom is almost like a mentor to the other. De Rossi even spoke about how De Zerbi, after the sacking at Spal, he gave him a lot of books, a lot of data to study, to become better, to, you know, almost really like a mentor. So both teams are trying to have fun, and both teams are trying to win by having fun, because both teams are dealing with, limited rosters. Brighton is the model that now everybody follows. They're one of those teams that everybody keeps a keen eye on, regardless of what they do. There are people that don't like it. There are people who consider it almost like a religion. De Rossi considers the Zerbi's football like a religion, because that's the model he would like to emulate on the pitch. So I think, first and foremost, it's going to be entertaining, but I think the intensity in England for the return leg will put you in difficulty. So you have to make the best of the first leg being at the Olimpico. That is definitely something that we have to watch out for. Can this team not concede in England? We will have to live to tell the tale. But so far, I think it's just a good matchup from a purely neutral perspective. I think it's a really good tie.
Oh, definitely. If we want to talk about a 180 degree opposite, okay, type of match, like
from Roma Real Sociedad,
even again, Bayern Leverkusen.
Well, no, because because we're talking about Roma and Real Sociedad, two teams who are playing similar. Bayern Leverkusen played the opposite of Roma. Bayern Leverkusen played football.
No, I'm just
Brighton and Roma. I think are better matchup stylistically than anything we've had in recent years. You know, like the two teams in the way of they interpret football are much more aligned than anything else. Before that, it was always referring to the build-up.
I mean, at least now, when you build a match of Brighton versus Roma, there is a much different feel to it. The Roma of Jose Mourinho than the Roma of Daniele De Rossi. And I also have to laugh, by the way, because you just mentioned Bayer Leverkusen. I think they had 27 shots in Germany in that second leg.
Yes.
Tonight, Torino had something like 21, right around 20 shots. Let me just double check that, because we have, of course, Juric lamenting the fact. Oh, no, they had 14. See, I don't know what the hell I'm talking of. They had 14 shots, and Juric on DAZN, he is saying, or at least they are replaying it now. He's saying, well, we had almost 40 shots over these two matches against Lazio and Roma. I don't know how we don't win. I don't know how we don't win. The typical quantity, not quality, sort of argument. Because if we look at the XG tonight, Torino's was far inferior to Roma. And that is a sort of mindset I love from people. It's, you know, I asked Scarlett Johansson 22 times to go on a date with me, and she still said no. How many more times do I need to ask? 50? It's like, well, no. So what? You created 40 shots. Again, you're actually tonight under 0.75. I mean, be serious, man. I just hate that sort of mindset. So wait, you are not going to make a prediction then, because we can at least clip it out and put something on YouTube for people to...
We're not going to get any clicks. I think we've abandoned that prospect. I'm happy for the tie. I don't know. It's the first time that I'm genuinely looking forward to like a tie without being necessarily worried about what it means, because I think
it's
going to be entertaining. Yes. Finally, for a change, instead of going into it with like this culture war mentality of, you know, I mean, if Mourinho was being asked of what De Zerbi brought to football, I think that would be making the headlines. What De Rossi has to say about that doesn't make the headlines, because it's just two buddies. I mean, their daughters go to watch Roma games in London, you know, so the energy will be completely different, and perhaps the focus will be actually on the football that is played on the pitch rather than all the noise outside of it.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. At least, particularly from a neutral standpoint, this will be one of the few ties where the actual football, the tactical portion of it, will be intriguing, at least to the neutral. again, this is something that, and that's not, again, not even mentioning the storyline of Zerbi Derossi. I am looking forward to this. It is one of the few times where I don't feel stressed by it. And frankly, I don't even find myself saying, well, should Roma put it into the bin and just worry about top four? Whatever happens, happens. Yeah, I mean,
exactly. Whatever happens, happens. At this point in the season, I think the Europa League, and especially as I said, I mentioned earlier, with De Rossi's entrance, the objectives had to change. The focus, I do not think, is on Europa. So Europa is like an added bonus with De Rossi in charge.
I absolutely, absolutely agree. I'm not going to say put it into the bin. We know top four is the objective. Whichever path you have to take to get that, you have to do it, whether it's Serie A, Europa League. I couldn't care less, but I just hope they stay on this path. I don't think anybody with a honest face can say to you they would have expected this sort of response so quickly after the dismissal and the exit of Jose Mourinho. At some point, this sort of fairy tale, should we say, this romantic sort of storybook reunion with Daniele De Rossi in Roma, it will end, as all good things do in football, but let's enjoy it. I mean, as I said, it's a 180-degree turn in terms of the entertainment value versus what you got with Jose Mourinho. And I know every single Jose Mourinho stan will come at me and say, well, look at all the things he won with Roma and got them their first trophy. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that whatsoever. I am just saying that this is it's a nice change-up, no? I mean, it's better than suffering and having to watch that shit we saw at San Siro, man.
I can't complain.
All right. Well, we will be back later in the week. Until next time, ciao.